right, take your Bibles to the book of James, chapter number 3. We're going to hopefully conclude James chapter 3 on the tongue. Of course, you could preach on this subject for until the Lord comes. I would assume that if this has been a problem in the early church 2,000 years ago, I would assume it's probably still a problem today, 2,000 years later. And I was thinking of all the messages to preach tonight. I think this week I've battled this more than I have any other time in probably a year. And not so much towards people as much as towards myself. Being by myself. Talking bad about people. Now, I usually don't talk bad about people to other people because that always gets back to somebody. But boy, I've been talking bad about people to me. And I've been agreeing. Amen. Everything I said, I agreed to. I amened it. And I tell you, it's about the time you think you got this tongue whipped, the trouble arises and it overcomes us and it just lashes out in such manner that's so unchristlike. You know, the ultimate goal is to be like Christ. And a loose tongue is so unchristlike. In fact, there's nothing more unchristlike than that. Some of my preacher friends have a tendency to be very critical of other preachers. And the more I read the book and the more I study, I believe that's one of the great sources of condemnation in our generation today. Somebody don't do everything just like I do, and boy, the tongue starts going. So I want us to look in our Bibles in James chapter 3 and verse 3. And we'll read down through verse 12. And the Bible says, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." So we all, many of you have ridden horses in the past and maybe presently and put the bit in there, and that great amount of strength is controlled with that little bitty bit. "And then behold also the ships," not Barb and Ralph. See, it just, that wasn't in the scripture. That wasn't even in the notes. It just came out. "Behold the ships, which though they be so great, are driven with fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." I've never driven a ship. I've rowed a boat. About as close as I've got. Wouldn't mind driving a ship. Amen. Before I die. Don't know if I'll ever get to, but wouldn't mind to. But it's turned about with that little helm, that little rudder, guides and controls that big ship in the midst of the storms and the problems. "Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Then the catastrophe of the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and birds, and serpents, and things in the sea, is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." Verse 9 through verse number 12 is our text tonight. "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, These things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Now, I know that this was written many years ago, and I know that sometimes that people proclaim that the King James Bible is too hard to understand, but I don't know a word that we read there that somebody in this room couldn't understand tonight, in the comparisons and in the explanations and in the commands. I don't know that the Bible is so hard to understand as much as we just don't read it to want to understand it. And tonight, with the Lord's help, I want us to seriously consider this matter of the tongue. We looked at the control of the tongue in verse 3, the catastrophe of the tongue in verse 5 through 8. And then tonight, I just want us to look at a couple more words in connection with this. I think there's nothing more destructive to a home, to a nation, and even to the church than whenever the tongue of a Christian becomes out of control. I talked to you about the whisperer, that one who whispers things. Now, we try to make light of this in many ways, but there's no excuse and there's no Christ-likeness in whispering or in gossip or slander or being critical or judgmental. When you attain to Son of God status, then you can do those things that Christ did and said in the way He said them. But Christ tells us not to judge lest we be judged. And He's not talking about against sin, and He's not talking about against wrongdoing. But He is talking about whenever we have a critical spirit because somebody isn't just like us. Remember the apostles, Lord, we saw somebody casting out devils and we forbade them not. Why? Well, they weren't just like us. I'm here tonight to tell you that there's a great attack in our churches today. Our goal is unity in the church. Amen? That's the goal. The lack of unity usually comes from the tongue. Let me read you a verse. Well, you can turn over there in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. These six things God doth hate. Hate. And it means they're an abomination. He hates them. Chapter 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. At one spectrum of God, you have what God loves. On the other end, you have what God hates. Yea, seven are an abomination. The seventh is an abomination unto God. A proud look, God hates a proud look. Have you ever watched some people that have a proud look on their face? Amen? You can't much watch sports without finding somebody that has a proud look. Not all of them, but many of them. But you don't have to look to the sports world. You can look in the finance world. You can look on the media world. And sadly, you can even look in the church sometimes. A proud look. A lying tongue. God hates a tongue that's always lying. In fact, in the book of Revelation, the Bible says the liar will have his part in the lake of fire. If you are a continuous liar, I was listening to a sermon on the way home from Salem this week, and it was talking about the man who lies enough to where that he believes that what he's saying is actually true, even though it is a lie. And we're living in that day and age today. Hands that shed innocent blood, My goodness, we could preach a month on that. All the abortions that's taken place is simply a kind word for killing innocent babies. What an abomination that is. People that are killed in innocence, through robbery, through hate, whatever the case may be. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. Verse 18, a heart that devises wicked imagination. A heart. Now he's getting to the person that thinks very badly, imagines how to get back at somebody, imagines what to do, get even. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. That God hates that person that's always looking for trouble. Always, you ever know somebody that's always around trouble? God hates that. A false witness that speaketh lies. Two times the word lies is used in this. A false witness that speaketh lies. He tells things that aren't true or that isn't true about other people. They may be some true, but they're not true. Well, did you hear? Now, he may not know all the story, but he's going to tell enough of it. And what he don't know, he's going to make it look good on his part. And verse number 7, that's an abomination, he that soweth discord among brethren. That's where the whisperer comes, the talebearer. And one whose intentions are not what they appear to be. So if you go back to James, and we don't have time to go through all of the Bible and look at all of these verses again. They're just filled, the scripture's just filled with them. Examples of them in the Bible by the scores. The comparison in verses 9 through 12 are really simple. We understand the difference between blessing and cursing. God distinguishes that in the law. There's the blessing and the cursing. We understand the difference between bitter water and sweet water. Water that you can't drink because it's so bitter. And water that is pleasant or something that you can drink. We understand the difference between fruit on a tree, figs and berries. And then we understand the difference between salt water and fresh water. If you've been to the ocean, you know there's salt water. If you've been to the tap, there's fresh water. And there's a difference in all of those things. And there is a vast difference, what God is saying, in the way a Christian ought to be when he's talking. So in the Bible says in verse number 9, with this tongue we bless God, even the Father. The highest honor that you could do with your tongue is praise God. There's not a greater honor to use your tongue for than to lift up Jesus Christ. Whether it's in the hymns of praise or reading of the scriptures, the Bible says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. What a great honor to read the word of God. Whether it's to yourself or to someone else, what a privilege it is to preach the gospel. What an honor it is to be able to witness to somebody about Jesus Christ. In all of these things, we bless God. What a great honor that is when the church gathers like this morning and tonight and we lift up our voices. And what a great honor it is to use our tongue to form words that lift and exalt our Savior. And then in the very next breath, curse a man. Say, well, preacher, I don't curse anymore. Well, I don't know that he's using curse words. Amen? He's not talking that. But he's looking on that man with disdain. And so as we talked about how much we love God on this and use our tongue to praise God, on this end of the spectrum is we speak ill of mankind. We say things that ought not to be said is a good way to say it. We make suggestive remarks. We try to lure people into thinking things that maybe we know more than what we think we do about a situation that's going on. And so out of that, we curse men. Well, this is what I heard. This is what was told to me. Just because it was told to you don't mean you need to tell it to somebody else. Brother Andrew and I was talking, I don't know what we was talking about sometime last week, and he made a reference to the scripture, and I thought, it's a good reference. I don't know what we were talking about, but it was a good reference. And here's what it was. He said whenever that Mary was found to be with child, that was a great shame to her. And you know what? Instead of Joseph getting up and telling all the things that he did, you know what he did? He was minded to put her away. Isn't that interesting? After what she did, he didn't get on Facebook and say, "You know who you are and what you done." Well, we don't, so tell us or shut your mouth. Well, didn't get on the phone. Used to. Get on the phone and talk about it. He didn't have a support group he went to. My name is Joseph, and my girlfriend's been unfaithful. Oh, Joe, we're so sorry. No, you know what he did? He thought about it and he says, "You know what? I think I'm just going to do a private disengagement and go on my way." That's a lot of character. You think possibly, before the angel showed up to Joseph, you think possibly that Joseph just might have been a little bit devastated? I mean, here was the girl that he had fell in love with, and I mean, she was just the love of his life, and now she's pregnant, and he knows it ain't with him. Now, you don't know who it's with yet, but don't you reckon he's probably about devastated at that fact and all those emotions and such, and yet a man of character that says, "You know what, I do love Mary, and I love her enough that I'm not going to marry her, but I love her enough that I'm not going to ruin her either." I think I read a verse in the Bible, maybe a verse in the Bible, that says something along this line: love covereth a multitude of sins. I think that might be in there somewhere. What do? When somebody does something, man, we want somebody else to know about it. Amen. I tell you what, we want to make sure somebody else is on our side. We'll make sure somebody else just knows how bad off we got it. So he uses the comparison. We bless God, but we curse men. He uses the thing about the water. We understand about water. You know, either water's good or it's not. When I was in Mattoon, they gave me a glass of water, and I drink water out of the tap around here. I don't have to have this. I grew up drinking it out of the tap. Amen. It's not going to kill me, and if it does, I'm going to die anyway one day. All right? Now, a lot of you have, you know, I remember when you used to buy we had a little jug that had a filter in it somehow, and it's supposed to filter the water. I don't think it did. I think it was just an easy, you know, made that gal rich on TV for selling them. And so I think water's just water, okay? You don't like drinking out of the tap. That's fine with me. I don't care. But we have one of them water things on our refrigerator that don't work half the time. And besides, you can turn the water faucet on and it's filled up. There you're. You can sing a 5-minute song or 2.5 minute twice and it'll finally fill up. Or you can go over to the tap and just turn it on, put it in, drink it, and be done with it. So I don't have to have this. When I was in Mattoon last week, they gave me some water just in a cup, And it didn't taste like our water around here. It had a much different taste. And I don't know it's bad. Them guys drink it all the time. They probably come over here and think, man, their water tastes horrible to us. So water in different places tastes different ways. I'm aware of that. But he's not talking about the difference in taste as far as, you know, whether you drink water here or drink water there. He's talking about water that can be drank or drunk or drinked or whatever you want to call it. Amen. Water you can drink. How about that? And stuff that you can't drink. Now, I've had water that you can't drink. When I went to Mexico, don't drink the water. All right? I don't know why, but they say don't drink the water. Said you Americans can't handle it. We drink this kind of water or Coke, all right? And so there's places where water is no good. You can't go to the ocean and drink water. There's a lot of it, but it's salt water. And so there's a difference between fresh water, salt water, sweet water, bitter water is what he's talking about. And we all know this, that a fig tree bears figs and a vine bears berries. Now, we're all aware of these things. Here just in a few more weeks, in fact, it's already happening and you don't even see it. The sap has begun to move up the vines, and it won't be long before the trees will start. They won't just start budding overnight. That thing has been happening for a few days now. And that's the process God makes it. And it won't be long before the blackberries will be producing blackberry juice to get up into the blackberries to make blackberries. And the grapevines will produce grape juice to get up into the grapes to produce all of that. But you know, that all happens. So we understand that when I'm going to look for blackberries, you go to the blackberry bush. When you go to look for pears, you go to the pear tree. We understand all those things. Now, God said, just as sure as those are true, that we ought to have a mouth that honors God. And if you're a Christian, you name the name of Christ tonight, then you ought not to have, as the Indians might say, speak with forked tongue. Out of one side of your mouth, you're saying, oh, how I love Jesus. And out of the other side of your mouth, you're condemning mankind, who's made in the image of God. And I would be very careful for all of us here tonight, because all of us are guilty of this. There's not a person here tonight, whether it's the preacher or the preacher's wife, the deacon or his wife, the deacon or his wife, or the deacon and his wife, or the deacon that's not here and his wife, or any other member of this church that hasn't had a problem talking. And it's so easy to get caught in talking. You may not intend at first to talk, and then all of a sudden you find yourself talking about matters you ought not to be talking about. Well, let's just all make a good confession. How many has found that to be true? The rest of you turn to James or to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, and you can find out your place there. All of us have had this problem. All of us have had this problem. James chapter 1 and verse number 10 says, if any man say he's not sinned, he's a liar. I said chapter 4, but it's chapter 1 verse 10. I haven't sinned like that. Come on. You're in the same Baptist church I'm in. You're made of the same dirt I'm made of. We're all the same. And we all have that same little member that is so unruly. Well, the comparison is really simple. Then the command is found in verse number 10. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Now, God doesn't beat around the bush with this matter. God doesn't make excuses like, say, well, you know what, Brother Tim, sometimes I just feel like I just have to say something. No, that's not a legitimate reason. The Bible says, my brethren, these things that you're doing, and I might be doing, you might be doing, these things ought not to be so. It ought not to be that a Christian comes to the church on Sunday morning or Sunday night and says, oh, how I love Jesus, sings these great hymns, praises God, and then hardly gets out of the church before he is laying on to somebody for not doing what he thinks they ought to do. I have a tendency to have much road rage. I just cannot believe they give some... I should be the licensed giver-outer. Because some people do not deserve a license. I was telling Brother Charlie today in Sunday school, on the way home from Salem the other day, this guy was in 65-mile-an-hour zone, and this guy's run like 59. I'm like, right? I mean, me and NASCAR, they could have measured it. I'm like, Lee and Andrew was with me, so I was restraining the tongue. But in here, I was telling that guy what an idiot he was. I thought, good gravy. Come on. Hey, listen, can I tell you something? If it's 65, get it up there. Amen? If you ain't going to get it up there, get off the road. Man, come on. But I found my opportunity. They have them, when you're coming up the hill, they have them two lanes for the slow people. And I think that means more than what it says. Let's all say amen. I don't get in that slow lane. So we was going down the hill. It was a passing zone. We're on this side going down. I thought, and there's a string of cars behind us. So it's just not me that's angry. Let me tell you, that Echo Boost will flat down get it when you get on it. All right? I went around him, and by the time I got to his door, we was running 90 miles an hour. Shoo! Right by him. And there was two cars right behind me. I don't mind driving fast. In fact, I'd rather run 90 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour, as I would to drive 12. Man, I'm telling you, we're getting... And I see them two cars behind me, so I know. And there's cars coming this way. So we're all going to have to get over. Next thing I know, them little red lights. And I thought, we are spending the... Because I told them we was going to spend the night if we didn't get done. I thought, boy, we are going to spend the night. Amen. So I thought, oh, stupid driver back there. So I thought, well, this ain't going to turn out good. And Brother Lee had been looking at the speedometer. You ever hear that? You ever hear that old song about them guys sitting there looking like a white, like a picket fence? You know, I mean, that was him and Andrew. Andrew was back there putting his belt on and everything. So I pulled off. You know, I thought, well, this ain't going to be. Man, them guys flew past me like I was sitting still. So I ran 75 the rest of the way home. I thought, whoa. Man, I'm telling you. Now, how come it is? I heard my wife was witnessing to the police officer right behind the church today on the... I can go say things because I've been stopped a number of times in the last year. So I haven't got a ticket yet, but it's just a matter of time probably. But I hate going slow. And I hate getting around people. But you know what? How do I know what that guy was going through in that little truck? Maybe he's just an old man. You know, old people don't have the reflexes that they used to have whenever they were 20. That's why they maybe he ought not to have been driving. Maybe he wasn't supposed to be driving. It was kind of dark. I mean, it was dark. It was kind of a little bit foggy. Maybe he's just being precautious. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know all the reasons. But how come it is that just in a matter of moments, something goes wrong, and I mean we can just turn it on? Now, I know, if you're spiritual here tonight, you can just put off for the rest of the night, because it probably won't be, because I'm just talking to you about us that aren't spiritual sometimes. I know that you that are perfect, you always have the right attitude towards everybody, and you never say anything wrong, and you're always watching my words to make sure that I don't say anything wrong. Help yourself on that. Amen. And I realize tonight that, you know, there are people that have risen above the rest of us that are on planet Earth. But for those of us that are on planet Earth, we have a hard time dealing with people. If it wasn't for people, we'd be all right. But we have a problem with people. People that aren't perfect like us. Going 90 miles an hour like me. Or at least the speed limit. Amen. And all of a sudden, God says, now Tim, these things ought not to be. Now you ought not to be like that. And I know I ought not to be like that. And I try sometimes to put myself in bad situations just so I'll prove that I'm not like I am. And long before I know it, sure enough, I am like I am. I thought one time here this past week, I was in the midst of traffic up in Moberly. Not that it's a lot of traffic, but you know, I mean, it's enough to make you say things you ought not to say. I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to get behind all these people, and I am going to go slow with them, and I am just going to learn to control my road rage. Bad idea. God. Finally, I whipped out and went around them thinking, I'll try this another day. How come it is? You can sit here in church, or I can sit here in church, and then somebody, your neighbor, does something, and or your somebody didn't talk to you just right, and every time you see them, it comes up, doesn't it? Take your Bibles, if you would, to the Sermon on the Mount, chapter number 5, for just a minute. Now, if you want to practice this, then you practice it the way Jesus said to practice it.